Father Lord, we thank you for the privilege you have given us to come and get a new house. And we thank you, Lord, that some they have wished to see the day, but Lord, we have not allowed them. There is nothing good you have done, It's just your grace, Lord, that keeps us. We are praying for those who are not feeling well among us. We pray that, Lord, you may touch them. We are praying for our spiritual, Lord, growth, that, Lord, you may touch us, that we may grow in knowing you more and more. We pray for other churches, Lord, that, God, your word as it is preached, let we not harden our hearts, but let us be receptive to it, Lord, and do as you have commanded it. We are praying for Bishop who is not around, that, Lord, we will be with him in Chatsworth, and that, Lord, we will be blessed them with your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know Bishop is taking you in the book of Exodus. I'll be taking you in Acts. Every time you see me here for the rest of this year, you know that I'll be preaching on the book of Acts, because we are doing Acts in the Zulu service. Today we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 1 to 13. I don't know whether it's me or is it a Christian faith, but I find it very hard to testify. One day I was going to Joburg. There is a guy sitting next to me. I say, when we reach Mentros, I want to testify to this guy that I'm a Christian, and then call him if he is a Christian too. But when we reach Mentros, it's like my tongue was very, very heavy. I say, maybe in another 45 minutes I will testify. Until we reach Joburg, I was very disappointed. I don't know whether is it the way we have been taught how to testify, or it becomes hard. But until I came to the book of Acts, now I understand that the Bible tells us that it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we become fearless and we become boldness to testify that you indeed you are children of God. And Jesus said one day, you'll be brought before governors and kings, and you must not worry what you're going to say, because at that hour, the word will be given to you through the Holy Spirit. When we check Matthew chapter 10, verse 18 to 19. So the work of spreading the gospel, it's not someone who is wise and someone is intelligent or someone who has been trained, but it's true by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us look at verse 1 to verse 4. It says, it happened on the day of the Pentecost when all the disciples were together in one place, and suddenly came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, which filled the entire house where they were sitting. And tongues fall on each one, it appeared and rested on them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit utterance given them. Why the Spirit fall on the day of Pentecost? We are told that the Pentecost was a feast which followed the feast of first fruits, which was happening after 49 days, and the Pentecost took place on the fifth day. And on the day of the Pentecost, the Jews used to celebrate it for the giving of the law in the mountain sign. And you remember that they hold Moses as their idol. And when the Spirit came on the Pentecost, it looked like God wants to shift them, that the fulfillment has come whereby the church is no more the Jews, but the church would be made by different people from different tongues. And we are told that on the Pentecost, when the Spirit came, it was now the time for the fulfillment that the church is being built. Jesus has said that through Peter's words, that through this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overcome it. It looked like now the time for the fulfillment has come, because now the Spirit has fallen upon the disciples. Let's look what happens on that day when we look at verse 5 to verse 8. where my topic will be saying, the unexpected that happened on that day. Look at what they were doing. They say they were dwelling in Jerusalem, a Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And as this happened, the multitude came rushing to the scene when they heard the wind that blow that was violent. And they came to the place where the disciples were. Listen what amazed them when they came there. When they present themselves, they heard the disciples speaking in their own language, which was so amazing. One, why they were so amazed? Because these people were Galileans. They were people of low rank. They were people who were unlearned. They were people who were uneducated according to their eyes. When you know the story of Nathanael, a guy who is not famous as a disciple, but when you read John chapter 1, verse 46, when Jesus was calling his disciples, Nathanael asked, he said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Nazareth was one of the Galilean cities. And Nathanael was so puzzled that how come a Messiah can come in such a place? It looks like this was a place that was underlooked by people. And there's nothing expected that good things can come out of that place. And when Jesus was being trialed, and the Pharisees were asking, "Where is this man coming from?" They found out that he was from Galilee. And they asked if anything or any prophet can come out of Galilee. And yet here, these guys are heard speaking in other languages, proclaiming the good news of God. And these guys, now they are so confused, saying, how come these unlearned people can speak with other languages? Another writer was saying, if you come and tell people you are from a poor country, even if you can speak good things, the people first will just determine you, where is this man coming from? Where does he get such a learning? But now, because they are filled with the Spirit of God, now they have been inspired by the Spirit of God, they are able to communicate the gospel of God with other languages so that the gospel can reach the end of the world. You remember Jesus said to them, you must go out and preach the gospel to the other ends of the world so that my name will be lifted there. And the question was, how is it going to be done? And it's done on the day of the Pentecost when they are filled by the Spirit. Now they are proclaiming the wonders of God. Listen what was happening. I don't know whether you can take note that all the languages were there, and most of them, they are from popular places. If you can take a look, there were people who are coming from Rome, and we are told that these guys were already converted to Judaism, so they know a little bit of the gospel. And they heard these people speaking in their languages. And one may ask, how come it was done? Were all speaking in different languages at the same time? No. Another writer say, as soon as these people, they present themselves, the Holy Spirit was able to give them the utterance to speak in their own language. Imagine someone comes to you, and you are able to speak in Afrikaans. Is it that a wonderful thing? Imagine someone comes to you, you have never learned isiZulu, and that moment you begin to proclaim the wonders of God in a Zulu language. Now the Spirit has come upon the people. The people are able to communicate the gospel of God in their mother language. To me, it would be a wonderful thing, because they were not speaking language that were not known, but a tangible language, a known language that were understandable to the people that were presented there. Let us look at verse 9 to 11, how the world is being evangelized. Now he's coming to count the language that were there. He said there were people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Potassi, Asia. And take a look at verse 10. Libya is mentioned. Africa itself is included. The state, the continent that is being underlooked. You know, when people, they are talking around, they will tell you that Africa was not even included in the gospel. African people were rejected. In fact, they say the gospel was never meant for African people. But the Bible, when the Spirit of God came, it mentioned that Africa was there. And the gospel was proclaimed in the Africans so that they can proclaim the word of God to African people. Isn't that wonderful? That we indeed were being accounted in the kingdom of God. World evangelism. What were they doing, these people? What were they talking about when the Spirit of God came upon them? Were they talking mysterious languages? Languages that we usually hear from our brothers. Another one was saying Ramadoro. No, it was not those languages. The Bible tells us that they were proclaiming the miraculous work of God. Isn't that what in the previous that Jesus has said to them, you must wait in Jerusalem until we are filled with the Spirit of God so that we become my witnesses to the end of the world. Now they are proclaiming the wonderful works that God has done. Look at verse 11, what they were doing. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. When you remember Exodus chapter 15, verse 11, when God has delivered the people of Israel from the hand of Pharaoh, now they are going to the promised land. There is a song that was being made by Maria. Maria is saying, who is like God who can perform wonderful things? These are the things that the very same disciple were proclaiming. That in all the world, there is only one God who rules. In all the world, there is only one Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. They were proclaiming the wonders of God. They were not just talking language that were unknown, but they were proclaiming the wonders of God. Let's look at verse 12 to 13. When they were proclaiming these things. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking, said, they are filled with new wine. When the gospel of God is being proclaimed, we must always remember that we always come in encounter with two groups of people. Whenever you go, there's always be two groups of people. Those who listen to the word of God and those who reject the gospel. Whenever you go, you will find these two groups of people. There is no another third group. I've heard another one saying, I don't deny that Jesus is alive. I don't deny that Jesus has risen from the dead. Yet I'm still in between. Because I don't go with Christianity. And neither I don't go with those who saying he never existed. He's trying to play the meekly part. But you know, in this world, there is no one who stands in the meekly. It's either you belong to the group that will always resist the power of God. Or you're in the group that will accept the wonders of God. Listen what the people are saying. One group, they were amazed at what God was doing. They were willing to hear and to get more what was God doing in such a time. Another group was saying, these people, they are drunk with new wine. Always when Jesus was preaching, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they always resisted the work of God. When Jesus was performing miracles, they downplayed that. They say, Jesus was doing all this because he was the king of the demons. That's why he was able to perform wonderful works. Others, through his miracles, they accepted that indeed he's the Son of God. Even in the end, when he was crucified, a centurion, a soldier from the Roman Empire, you say, indeed, this man was the Son of God. Others, they were saying, if really we are the king, as you have been proclaiming, come down from that cross. Because always we will have two groups in this world. If we have two groups in this world, then it's up to us as a church to know which group are we in. Are we in those who are amazed, who wants to know more, who wants to be exposed to the work of the Spirit of God? Or do we belong to those who oppose the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit that God has been doing since he came to set us free from the power of sin? Let's go a little bit back. Number one, there is a fulfillment. Jesus has said, wait in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit will come. And it comes on the day of the Pentecost, where God now sees to put the church in Jerusalem. But he wants the church to go now and preach his wonders throughout the nation. Number two, the unexpected, it always happened, because God, when he's working, no one can contain him. Look at these guys who are able to speak in other languages. They were just guys, simple guys, Galileans, who were underlooked, who were not people of status, but they are proclaiming the gospel in different languages. I don't know where you live, but I'm not coming from a high graded family. No one expected me to be a preacher. When I was called to preach the gospel, I remember one lady, we were in the same church. He said, how come are you going to preach when we are failing to communicate with only two people? He didn't know that I've been touched by God to proclaim his wonders wherever I go. I don't know, maybe you look down upon yourself to tell the story of Jesus. But let me tell you, God, as Paul has said, he always like, I don't know why, he always like to use those who are despised to shame the strong. I don't know why. That's why when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, so that no one can boast, but he only boasts on the Lord. Because those who are mighty, they can think it's their own strength. But those who are weak, they can always see the wonderful and the power of the Holy Spirit working upon them. Then from 9 to 11, we are called to evangelize the world. The gospel has been preached to other languages. Now we are so fortunate enough, we have Bible that has been written in our vernacular languages. There is no excuse now, because we have to evangelize as a church until the end of the time that Christ comes back to collect us. Two, the third one, there is always two groups. As we are sitting here today, there are always two groups. Those who always wants to know the wonderful work of God, and those who will keep on mocking what God is doing in the church. What does it mean to us as a church sitting here today? There is always one thing when the Spirit of God comes upon the church, is to stir the church to go and fulfill the commandment of God. Because as we are a Christian, we believe that as a believers, as the community of God, we are under the law of God. And if we are under the law of God, it is the challenge to us now to keep this law. Which law that God say? He said we must love our neighbors as we love ourselves. If our neighbors are perishing and we are the children of God, deep down from our hearts, we should be moved to proclaim to them the wonderful Savior. There is another guy in Zimbabwe. He said he was staying in a suburbs, and in those suburbs, I don't know what kind of suburb, maybe you guys will relate. He stayed there for 15 years. He never knew his neighbor. I say, what kind of a place is there? He say, only the rich people are there, because you don't get time to go to the neighbor and say, how are you? Are you fine? Do you have salt? I say, oh, I'd rather stay in the township when it's like that, because I can't live without my neighbor. He say, I only knew after 2 years that my neighbor has passed away, because we never ever see each other. The only thing is to see him getting inside his home with a car, and then the morning he drove away, I drove away. And then he say, how can I share the wonderful work of God in such an environment? I didn't have an answer from that time, until I'm reminded of the scripture that say, let your work shine and be the salt of the world, so that people can see your good work and glorify God who is in heaven. The way we talk, the way we hold ourselves, the way we treat each other, even if our neighbors, they can try to hide using all sort of things to shy away from us. But there's one thing they cannot shy away. It's when we conduct ourselves in a manner full of the gospel. Another thing as a church, it would be very disappointing when Christ comes and find us sitting. Because the command has been given. Those who have the Spirit of God, they're always willing and they are burning inside to share the gospel of God. Where does it start? It starts right here in church when we care for each other. It starts right here in church when we treat each other as Christians, so that the outside world can see that there is a difference between us. Look what they were saying. Are they not all Galileans? And how come we hear them speaking in our own native land? Today the church, people are not afraid of the church. What they tell me is that, in fact, the church is becoming more wealthy than the people outside. If you want to be heard, come to the church. It's what people are saying outside. And it's always true. But what will make the difference is when the Spirit works in our hearts, in our mind and soul, in our strength, then we start to reflect the good news of God. What does the conclusion have to say? Its symbol is found in verse 12 and 13. He's saying, it's only where you belong that will always reflect who you are. If you belong to the group that always is hunger for the amazement of God, you always be hunger to do what God wants. But if you belong to the group that always mocks, the Bible says, to an evil person, it becomes sport to keep on doing evil. But I will advise you that, as the Bible has said, every work and deed shall be brought before the judging day. And God will judge everyone according to what he has done, whether good or bad, it shall be judged. May God bless you.